Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Mr. Dan LeBrun. It's going to be a really fun interview and fun rhymes with LeBrun. That's definitely my last dad joke right now, so mazel tov to me. The next few weeks are going to have some really great guests. We actually had a last-minute addition that's going to be coming into the studio in a little bit, Steph Mirsky, who works for Forfini, and she is Warped Tour to me, so I'm honored that she's coming in and spending 1 minute with me, let alone the 43-minute length of our interview. The following week, we've got Shane Henderson from the band Valencia. My boys at No Hope Records hooked this up, and again, we don't have artists on the show as often as we used to because we're focusing on industry, but this one's an exception. So Shane's going to be calling in from Philadelphia, and hopefully there'll be some brotherly love there. We've got Eddie Solis, who does a lot of behind-the-scenes work in the heavy music world. He will be on the following week. We've got Neil Rubinstein, Orstein, who is the former frontman of Sons of Abraham, a very, very seminal Long Island, where I'm from, hardcore band. And now he's a very, very funny stand-up comic, and he has a very popular podcast. So I'm excited to have another podcaster on. And then the following week, we've got James Davidson, who is a fellow artist manager, and he's also an artist himself. So I'm happy with March and now the beginning of April. We're all booked until actually mid-August, which is pretty stupid, but in a good way, not like stupid, but stupid awesome. Like, that's bad, but bad good, you know? And I thought I'd be done with the dad jokes. So never done. Every single Tuesday in the Pacific region, is that the way to say it, or Pacific time zone, 5 o'clock, Waldman's Words airs for the first time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern, which is Dan's time zone. And Sunday, the episode reruns at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. You can go on iTunes. You can go on the Adobe website. You could find so many different episodes. We're already in the 70s, which is stupid. It's really stupid. So stick around for this wonderful episode of Waldman's Words, and special shout out to Emily Burke for being the Burkiest of the Burke Burks. We love you here, and we miss you like a milkshake. Enjoy this interview. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Mr. Dan LeBrun. Dan, I know that you've experienced some technical difficulties, but you are here now.
I am indeed here. You know, about like half an hour ago, my phone just shut off and will not turn back on. I'm like, well, fuck, this is just the worst day for this to happen. Well, but we made it work.
Well, you started the episode with an F-bomb, so I already know that it's going to be fucking awesome. So thank you for that. So let's no talk problem. About the beginning. You are from where I'm from, the Long Island.
Yeah, well, right here, it's good. Right now, it's a good thing you're not here, because we are just in for some weather today. Apparently, allegedly, the Weather Channel says we're supposed to get 11 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, over the course of the next, like, you know, 12 hours. So, I'm you know, that'll be pretty fun. But
it was drizzling this morning, man. I totally get it. It was drizzling. I had to use my wipers for about 14 seconds. It's been really rough out here.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know how I'd live like this.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I miss California. I've been out twice, and I want to make another trip out this year at some point. Just love how dry it is. You know, you don't have to worry about all this weather. It's just,
there's no such thing as seasons here. I mean, it's honestly, it's been one of the colder times since I've lived here. I moved here almost 15 years ago, which is pretty wild, but yeah, it's pretty silly. So let's talk about your being. Where on Long Island are you from? And the misconception of in Long Island. Not true. On.
No, you're on. You're never in Long Island. That's just, whoever says that's not from Long Island.
They're wrong.
Super, just not correct. I was born and raised in Stony Brook, right near the university. You know, I moved, well, I went to school in the city and lived out there for a few years. And now I moved back into the area. I'm living in Smithtown, not too far from where I grew up. But, you know, it's weird. My parents actually just sold my childhood house. So it's been different lately, you know, kind of adjusting to like, man, I can't just go back to my old bed, you know. It's just like those things, like, it's weird. It takes adjusting, you know. It's all just a factor of growing up and trying to live your life, you know, by yourself. And honestly, I love Long Island. You know, it's as much as people decide they want to get out of there and they hate it and it's just the fucking worst. You know, I mean, we have a lot of things and we're very lucky to, you know, be living out here.
I hated it until I left. I mean, I think that no matter where you're from, you want to be somewhere else. But I grew up in Lido Beach, like a few minute walk to the ocean, 45 minutes from New York City, the best pizza places per capita on the planet, probably outside of Italy. I will honestly say it's on Long Island. So, you know, I know it gets a lot of crap, maybe because of the accent, maybe because of the show Jersey Shore, but it was a pretty great place to grow up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So definitely. What was your, I guess, your musical upbringing? I mean, in the house that your parents sold, were they exposing you to music or...
Yeah, actually, my mom, she used to play piano a lot, and she used to play, like, in, like, church organ a lot growing up, but she went to legal field, which didn't really leave her much time for that, you know, as an adult, so she kind of passed that on to me. Pretty much tried to start me out as early as possible. I think I was, like, 5 or 6 years old taking piano lessons, which, I mean, I think is ridiculous. If you've got a kid who's 5 or 6 years old, please don't do that to the music teacher that you're sending them to. Just, I even know, like, that I had no attention span. I couldn't do anything. You know, I could play maybe Hot Cross Buns like 60 times in a row perfectly, but you know, it's I'm like thinking back now as like somebody who's taught some music, I'm just like, damn, I must have been just the worst to deal with at that age. But
I can't speak or comment to your age right now. How you are to deal with. No, this show's been good so far. Keep going. So, but what was your first, like, band that you discovered? Because when I was a little kid, Weird Al, that was my shit.
Man, you know what's funny? The first CD I actually ever got, technically, was, it was a Burger King promotional that they did in the early 2000s. And I'm pretty sure they gave out Backstreet Boys CDs.
Yeah.
So that was actually my first musical acquisition ever. It was a Backstreet Boys CD for Burger King. but no, I actually, it's funny because I grew up listening to a lot more like pop kind of mainstream music. It wasn't until like, I guess I like had friends like in high school that started showing me, like, you know, different things in like kind of like the emo rock alternative like circuits, which, definitely, you know, changed kind of my perspective, I think, on music a lot, going from just listening to like top 40 stuff all the time to just really seeing the range of what's out there, you know.
But what specifically besides Backstreet Boys?
Let's see. It's funny because I've phased out like half of it.
You blacked it out of your mind?
Yeah. Kind of blacked out half of it. Well, speaking of Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
Listen to them.
There you go.
Maroon 5, I know you're talking about in the last show.
We did.
Songs of Jane was just a phenomenal record. I'll still listen to that, honestly.
I mean, it's funny is, I guess the past few weeks have been Maroon 5 week. But, yeah, we just had Arwayne Martin on the show. Shout out to that dude. And, yeah, we spoke about Maroon 5, and Songs About Jane is, I think, a perfect record. And I know that the punk rock kids might scold me, but fuck them. Because that album is awesome. The songs are insanely good, and... I think it's where they peaked, and that album is diamond.
It really is.
It's so great. It's hard to peak early, but they did it. I'm going to Google how many records that sold, because it's a ginormous album. But what else were you listening to at the time?
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I guess when I got into high school, I started a band... Well, I started actually after I was going to say, I'll take it back for a minute, because after piano, I learned how to play, I guess, in succession, drums, guitar, and bass over like the next kind of like 10 years, mostly because I didn't let piano players in the band in my middle school. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn I couldn't. They handed me every instrument: woodwinds, trumpets.
By the way, it sold 10 million. It went diamond. I thought so, which I don't think any record's going to go diamond ever again because of record sales. So,
yeah. Well, that's a sad topic to think about, but
very much
starting
so.
starting to get me down here at the beginning of the show.
Well, I mean, you got the word down in your label, so we might as well keep it up. But let's let's keep going. So, I guess, did you decide that you wanted to, like, when you were playing music, like, were you gigging out? Were you the kind of, like, the business guy in your bands, or how did that work?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, when I got into my high school band, pretty much, we ran into a predicament, which was we had a vocalist and a guitarist, two guitarists, and then a drummer. And nobody would man up for it, so I just decided, oh, screw it, I'm going to play bass now. Like, I'm just going to learn how to play bass. And then nobody... You know, everybody's like, oh, we don't, I don't want to deal with, you know, booking shows or dealing with people. I just want to write music. I'm like, oh, fuck it then. I guess I'll be the business guy, you know? And so, like, no, just nobody ever wanted to deal with it. So it always became kind of like my thing to deal with. And just over time, you know, I started really like getting into it and really just loving, you know, what I was doing with that end of things. I mean, I obviously still love playing, still in a band now and everything, but it's, you know, I always like to get down to like the nitty gritty, like those, you know, spreadsheets, sending out emails. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm a weird person. I really enjoy it.
Well, I mean, the industry has a lot of weird people in it. So,
yeah.
So I guess, did you, I mean, because my Emily Burke, who I gave a shout out to earlier, I didn't know this, but you studied music business at NYU. Is that what your degree's in?
Yes. Yeah, I have a music business bachelor's degree from NYU. Emily, so wait, I'm sorry, you said Emily Burke, she went there too with me?
No. She researched you, and she sent me.
Oh, she researched me.
She sent me notes, because what I knew about was Downport and Razor and Time. We'll get into that in a bit. But so I don't know much about that program. Can you tell me about that? And did you go to NYU specifically for that program?
Yeah, definitely. I was looking around mostly, you know, especially like music businesses, degrees in colleges has been a relatively kind of new thing. It was just kind of starting out when I, went to college. There were only a few programs really. I think the only ones really available were, you know, the NYU one. They had the one down in Nashville at, was it Belmont?
Yeah, that's Nashville. I was just there in Music City.
Yeah, the guitarist in my band in high school went there for music business. It's I hear they have a great program too. But it was those two, and then I think Drexel had one. And yeah, I ended up going. I did an early decision for NYU. Found out like December the year before I got in, and you know, I like the music business program at NYU. I really like the way they did it, which is they kind of separate. They give you more like. They split into kind of three parts, basically. They would have your music classes, like theory, composition. So you'd basically kind of get like a general background in music itself. You'd get a business background in terms of taking just standard marketing, accounting, all those types of courses. That was actually, they did those classes through their Stern School of Business, which is really great. And then they'd have just, you know, standard, like, or not standard, but music business oriented classes like music marketing, concert promotion, you know. So they had a lot of very specialized things for music business too, but you'd get like a general background in everything you kind of need to go forward.
Well, I mean, a lot of people who work behind the scenes in the industry don't have a technical degree in it. Do you think that that puts you a leg above the rest?
You know, I guess that's really hard to say, Scott, just cause I feel like, you know, there's probably people who just have that, I don't know what the right way to say it is, but you know,
I mean, I wish that I had some formal knowledge in it. I really do.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. No, I wasn't trying to get you knowledge. To beat the shit out of people verbally, but like I wish that I had more. I did it all DIY, man. I mean, I learned as I went.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think, and that's the thing is, I mean, there's, they just kind of save for just like, you know, the people who want to go in and put in that legwork and just learn it on their own. You know, there's so many resources available to us today between, you know, YouTube, certain, you know, programs like Lynda for education. You can learn a lot of stuff from just the comfort of your living room. But I think what really helps with the formalized education is having other people around you that are doing it with you. You know, I mean, like the making of contacts, seeing people that you're going to class with. Like, there's people I've gone to class with now. I ran to one of them at Warped Tour this last year, doing like a, I think like a hip hop set. Like he's you know, people are, you see people growing and moving in different directions in the field.
Well, look at Skrillex. Kind of
yeah,
I mean that's. You know. I remember seeing from first to last playing small shows and. Now that dude can headline Staples Center or a rave. It's pretty wild that people change. So,
yeah, no, definitely, definitely.
So wait, how old are you? I don't even know.
I'm 23 actually.
Oh, you're super young. So, when you were at school, were you doing gigs in the industry, or were you just waiting till you completed and then you started your career?
I mean, I kind of technically started Downpour Records actually like kind of halfway into my college career. It'd been something I'd been wanting to do, honestly, for like a while. I actually picked out the name Downpour Records probably sometime in high school when I kind of wanted to start doing it, but I never really got it off the ground then. You know, I don't know. I like to be able to try and apply the things I was learning like in real time, you know, and start trying to build like the label up slowly as I was still going through school. So that way when I finished school, you know, I wouldn't just be starting from scratch there. Like I'd have something kind of, I'd have at least some sort of a foundation. That was the goal anyway.
Well, did you sign anyone when you were at school?
Yeah, we, I worked basically right now. We're still keeping with a similar roster to where we started. We have the first signing I did was this is a great prog rock ambient trio called Bare Success. I signed them and put out their first record in July 2015, which back then I basically had just got home like for a weekend and we recorded it in my parents' basement at the time.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Well, records have been made that have done quite well that have been made for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a matter, it was more so just like trying to keep costs down, you know, because obviously working with like a prog, like an instrumental prog rock band is definitely not, you know, it's one of those things where it's definitely not going to be the highest seller, but you can definitely reach a niche like audience with that kind of thing.
You got to go with what you like. I mean, obviously there's...
Exactly.
There's major labels, you know, believe it or not, you know, the Ramones were never a big selling band on Sire. And,
really?
But they were actually a band that got a lot of other people to sign to Sire. And on Island, I mean, Thursday and Thrice, like all their sales combined didn't have Fall Out Boy sales, but those bands brought other people. So you got to have, even the majors have that. I mean, maybe now less because of sales, but... I mean, if I had a label, I mean, obviously I'd want it to sell well, but I'd kind of want to be a fan of what I'm putting out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where I've had that, you know, I guess you could say argument myself too many times where, you know, I'll look at a band or somebody shows me a band, they're like, yo, you should sign them. They'll really push numbers. And I'm like, yeah, but I really fucking hate their sounds, you know? Like I'm pretty strict, I guess, in terms of not working on projects that I don't actually believe in, because at that point, you know, why are you doing it?
Exactly. You might as well get a desk job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I'm just in this for the money, like screw it, you know, I'll go work at another label or something.
Well, where does the name Downport come from?
Well, I was going to say, as a Long Island guy, you should know, Port Jefferson.
I do.
Yeah,
Port Jeff, good seafood.
Yeah, no, I named both that and actually the solo project I had in high school. I named after a road in Port Jeff, Bayview Terrace. I always love Port Jeff.
Yeah, the food's great. I took my wife there once, and I'm Googling right now to see the name of the seafood place so I can give them a shout out because they're fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. The, it's on the tip of my tongue.
It was, it's kind of like a shack, to be honest with you. Let's see. Let's talk about the substantive stuff and then I'll get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess where you want to go next here?
Wow, I've never had someone ask me that directly. Well, I just want to hear more about the label's inception, and then the next half we could talk about your gig at Razor and Tie and just Hold Fast Hope. I want to hear about that. But let's now, just anything else you want to talk about with Downport besides the fact that Port Jefferson has really good seafood.
Oh, great seafood. But so I started Downport Records theoretically in, 2015. We put out that first record, and that was kind of the only thing we had for a while, which, comes down to a couple of circumstances I don't necessarily want to get fully into on air. But
that's fine. Please don't.
It's just, long story short, though, is just we ended up sitting on projects for way too long in the studio, which was just a, not a good move on my part. Because I decided rather than recording them myself to go somewhere else to try and up our quality, which, kind of left us in a bit of a standstill for, about a year while we were waiting on some projects. But basically we started picking up again, in May of 2017. We got out, Crash the Comms debut record. I fucking love them. I went to high school with their lead singer, Brian. That's how I met them.
That's a name I see a lot on Facebook, I could tell you that.
Yeah, they're just really killing it. They've got this just this huge like emo grunge alternative sound. I think really comes back to like a lot of the Long Island bands, they grew up around, like, Circus, not Circus Five.
That's Philly,
Crime,
yo.
I know, I was going to say Crime and Stereo. Sorry.
No, no. When I think of Long Island, I think of what happened after I left with the Taking Back Sundays. And obviously, yeah. Brand New is not cool now, but Brand New, Glassjaw, yeah. Movie Life. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Movie Life and the biggest Long Island punk rocker, Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Yep.
I mean, I love Billy. I've seen him probably four times. Went to like two of the residency shows. First of all, I don't understand how, this man can have a fucking residency at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Like,
he sold it out more than anyone. He could announce a show right now and it'll sell out in a few minutes.
I know. He's a fucking madman,
He is. he's an angry young man. Heyo. So let's take a quick break. I guess if you can give me an adjective to describe the past 20 something minutes of your life, I'd love to hear it, and then we'll get back to the interview.
I'm freaking out. I don't know, man. You're putting me on the spot.
That's what interviews are, asking questions. I have one.
Okay.
Strong Island-ish. No. I guess detailed. You're giving me a lot of details, and I think that your story might be really interesting for some kid who wants to start a label.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a nice way of saying it, right?
No, I really appreciate that. You're actually, you're the first phone interview I've ever had. So it's definitely kind of nerve wracking for me.
Look at that. You're doing great. So let's pause for a second and we'll be right back. So yeah, we were back on Waldman's Words with Dan LeBron, but more importantly, the restaurant in Port Jefferson is called The Steam Room, and it's really, really, really good.
Oh yeah.
That's my story. I could talk about food for a really long time. I could have a show about food strictly.
I 100% feel you. My entire Facebook feed is usually consisting of either bands or recipes, because I just watch so many different cooking videos. If I didn't go into music, food would probably be my secondary passion there.
Have you seen the show Ugly Delicious on Netflix?
I started watching it the other day.
I like it.
We didn't end up getting through it. I was with my band.
Oh, okay.
I should watch that.
Well, I guess while we're here, let's talk about your band before we get into like some of the stuff that you've done for Razor and Tie. Tell me about your band, because we don't often have artists on the show. I mean, we have people that have, but we've been focusing more on the behind the scenes people. So I want to hear about your band.
Right. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. See, that's a good plug, right?
What's up?
That's a good plug.
Yeah. Well, we're called Hold Fast Hope, or should I say Hold Fast Dope.
Word.
But we actually just this past weekend did like a release party weekender. We hit Long Island, Philadelphia, I'm sorry, Pennsylvania and Phoenixville, and then Connecticut. Down Wallingford, we dropped our physical CDs this last weekend. We got a four track called Traitors, digital. Another little selfless plug here.
No.
Digital
Plug as
pre,
much as you want. That's the point.
digital pre-orders are on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. If you actually use those and actually buy music, otherwise you can wait like everybody else till the 30th. It's going to be out on a Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to music.
That's great.
Yeah, really, really stoked on this. This is the first piece of music I've actually put out in like 4 years.
Okay.
It's something that I've done,
While you
so
were
I'm
in med
really,
school?
yeah. I dropped my like solo project EP in was it middle of college, I guess. So back 2014.
What are the recording
So
details? Like, who'd you work with?
we recorded at Voodoo Studios, also out in Port Jefferson. We recorded mostly with was it Dominic Nastasi? He tracked, produced, mixed with the help of Mike Watts, who's done, I don't know if you know him, but he's done some sick work on like what have we got? We do have Glassjaw. He's worked on. He did some mixing on Old Brand New. More recently, done like Hail the Sun.
Dillinger Escape Plan.
Oh, Dillinger Escape Plan. Just forgetting that one. Yeah, it's a great, great record. But yeah, no. So we had them working on it, and it came out great. We have some four tracks I'm just really, really proud of, and I can't wait to get them out there. So yeah, March 30th, full digital release. Pre-orders available now.
That's awesome. I hope that if we get you one pre-order, then I can give myself a high five.
Exactly. I'll
So.
split that commission.
Oh, totally. That's what I was going for. You'll get that email later. I own everything now. So, I guess you've also done some work for Razor and Tie. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I interned there towards the end of my college career, and then afterwards, they brought me back on to do some consulting work in their digital marketing field. Basically working with their marketing department. We handled a lot of like just like the online campaigns. Running social media, if you saw posts by bands like Star Set, All That Remains, or The Pretty Reckless,
Yep,
half of
those
them
are the
during that
bigger
period.
bands. Yeah, definitely.
I was gonna say I was probably making like half their posts, if not all of them, during that time period I was there, guy behind the screen.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. And it really definitely helped teach me a lot too, in terms of like, I love, working there, because it was just a great give and take. I was able to provide value for them in terms of my skills, but I was also able to just be inside a big functioning label and see like, okay, this is how they kind of do things on this level. How can I apply this to my own label and my own business? So it definitely was a, great experience there, and nothing but love for all the people I worked with there.
Best way to learn is to do, my friend.
No, definitely. So it's hoping they're all doing well going forward.
Well, what's a typical day in the life of you?
Typical day. That's a good question. My schedule usually varies like so much, because I'm just like, I always feel like I'm, I don't know if you have that, but I feel like I'm the guy that I have to fit around everybody else's schedule. So I spend so much time working on my schedule each week to figure out, okay, this person's available then to meet with them to talk about this for this band, this person's available then.
I live
And
by a Google Calendar. Every day, there are certain appointments that I stick to every week. Like every single Wednesday, I'm in Adobe doing an interview. And actually, today, I'm having an in-studio interview with Steph Mirsky, who does work for Forfini right after you. But normally, and then the only reason I'm name dropping that is because of my show, next week's episode. But in general, I have certain phone calls with some clients that I manage, but then it's just putting people in.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I use pretty much, I run everything by iCalendar. So I have all my devices like synced up, and I was trying, you know, I got a, you know, Alexa in my room that I can wake up and be like, hey, what's on my calendar today?
And
Alexa, Alexa. I think I just set her off actually.
Oh no.
There was... like I just turned her off and not have, you know, Amazon talking in the background.
Well, they had on, I think, an episode of South Park, like an Alexa episode. And I think that they're messing with the people watching because all the talking could set it off in people's houses.
Oh, my God. I know. They had, well, they had one commercial. I think they had to, like, stop running because in it they say, like, Alexa, like, reorder toilet paper or something. And everybody's Alexa started buying it off Amazon.
Like, oh, that's funny.
In, like, toilet paper that day.
That's really funny. I mean, that's also messed up, but that's funny. I was wondering why my toilet paper bill was crazy this month. Now I know.
Yeah. Seriously. But, yeah. Where were we?
Well, we were just talking about a typical day in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, lately I've definitely been trying to, I definitely put on some weight over the years as I started transitioning more into a desk-like job, and I wasn't as active as I was in high school, so now I'm really trying to make an effort to get that off. You know, every day I'm trying to wake up, like go to a gym, figure out meal prepping. Ugh, that has been a struggle because let me tell you, there's not enough time to cook like crazy when you're trying.
My wife is the cook. She helps me with everything and I am extremely grateful. But I guess, do you have other experience doing, I guess, because like, was your role at Razor and Tie digital marketing consultant? Like, what was the exact role?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I had, I guess, like, that was the title, I guess, was a way of mitigating me being full-time because I couldn't afford to bring somebody on full-time. So, I was coming on, like, you know, maybe, like, 20, 25 hours a week. So rather than, you know, I guess calling me a digital marketing coordinator, it was consultant because I was just part-time. But yeah, I mean, my time there was pretty much just spent. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess, like I said, running a lot of social media campaigns, that was a big part of it. Trying to coordinate, some press.
Did you work in their office or did you work at home?
I worked in their office. Yeah. In New York City. They're like downtown right by Washington Square Park. So
oh, cool.
It was actually really nice when I was, cause there was some overlap with my time at NYU. Cause I ended up spending about, like 5 years there instead of it took me 5 years basically. Cause after like the second year of going full time, I started doing some more gigging and end up having to start taking classes part time. So, but you know, get it done, you get it done. It doesn't matter if it's 5, 4, or 50.
Well,
50 might be a little extreme.
Yeah, that's a lot. But
that's a lot of time for a degree.
What are you listening to right now, like, besides the stuff on your label? Like, what? Ooh. I mean, because obviously you mentioned that, you know, you go to the gym. So, like, what's on your playlist when you're there?
Probably my, like, biggest thing for, like, upbeat type stuff. I've been probably listening to the Hot Mulligan record, Opportunities, like for the last couple of months now, just nonstop. Dance Gavin Dance has always been a big one. I never used to listen to him, but then my buddy, one of my best friends growing up, works at Fearless Records now, Sam Helene. He does like a bunch of freelance work, and he shot like all their last couple music videos. He's like, dude, you got to check this shit out. It's crazy.
Wow. You know? And well, I know that they're on Rise, and they just recorded a new record, and also they're direct support for Under Oath on their new tour. So that's a big deal.
I know. I'm like, I'm gonna have to road trip for that because they don't have anything near Long Island. They have
it's a B Market tour.
Yeah, I know. It's like Niagara Falls, Connecticut, like deep out in Pennsylvania. So,
yep. But
I'm stoked for new Under Oath. That's going to be exciting.
I did Warped Tour with them in 2006 when Define the Great Line was on. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, Niagara Falls is, I guess the closest to you aside from like Providence or maybe Wallingford, Connecticut. I don't even know where Wallingford, Connecticut is. But yeah,
that's actually where we just played this past Sunday. It's not too far. It's only about 2 hours out of Long Island, so that's probably the closest.
Uh-huh.
So I know, like, I've never been up there, but isn't Niagara Falls? It's like an 8 hour drive from the
Niagara Falls
Long
is
Island, isn't it?
Far, dude. That's close to Canada.
Yeah, I know I'm geographically challenged, but that's what I thought. I have to like double check a map anytime before I do any kind of planning about going places because I think I just failed geography in, you know, second, third grade, whatever.
Well, just know that New York is on the East Coast, so I guess.
Oh, damn.
And Long Island is big enough to be a state. So I guess, did you have any mentors or besides, I mean, you can even mention some by name from NYU, but who, I guess, helped you kickstart your career?
You know, I don't know if I guess there was anybody so much so that I've had in guessing the business end of things that really kickstarted, but I definitely had, you know, a couple people that really just supported me, like, you know, personally, emotionally going through, you know, the struggles of it. But like I said before, one of my best friends, Sam Helene, has always been a huge supporter of me in terms of helping, like, you know, he kind of made it, I'll say made it big in music before I did, or before I hope I will. You know, he's on the scene doing big shot stuff with big shot people, and he definitely kind of...
Like who, besides Dance?
He told me how to keep it humble, you know, I guess. Like, he's never pretentious. He's never acted like that, you know, once. And he's like, I said, he works, he's done all the most recent videos for Dance Gavin Dance. Besides that, he's like I Prevail, August Burns Red, Volumes,
That's
Issues,
awesome.
Crown the Empire. He does like all their videos and stuff. He's
does
ridiculous.
Legit work. Well, let's go back to what you just said about humble, because I guess let's talk about some pet peeves, because my Facebook feed is sponsored by people telling me how hard they work, how many hours they put in, and how great they are. And I just want to yell into a wall.
Yeah, seriously, you know. It's just like, okay, we get it. You're tired. Like, why is that now a thing that you have to, like, brag about, you know?
It's pretty just brutal. Like... Well, not even, I mean, yeah, tired's one thing, or exhausted, or overworked, or I did this, 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 and this. It's like, results are the only thing that matters. So it's just, it's very annoying. It's a huge pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if I'm getting anything done, I'll let people, you know, they could see it, you know.
Yep.
It'll be out there. The numbers and stats will be out there for them to see. But I've never really been one to try and, you know, I guess do any of that.
Tell me how hard you're working. Please, please never do that.
I'm just like, who even cares? Like,
no one cares. I asked every person on the planet and all of them responded that they don't care.
Exactly. So like, who the fuck really cares?
Well, tell me about something that you do care about that I guess drives you a little bit wild. Like, is there anything in general that you've seen in your, I mean, I know that you're a young guy, but I'm sure you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Putting you on the spot. With a question, such an asshole, asking questions on a radio show. What a
how
jerk.
How dare you?
I know, I'm being very audacious. I'm really, really, really asking very personal stuff, too. Like, this is really bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, as somebody who used to book shows a lot, too, like, people who don't promote a damn show.
Yeah, dude, like, what's the point in playing it?
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one, the local level. I mean, it's just, you know, people that leave right after a band set, or the band leaving right after the band set. I'm like, oh, dude, like, come on, like, we're like, especially like we had for like our release show, like, yo, we're putting out a record here, like, you're not going to stick around. I mean, you know, I know I'm not entitled to their time, but it's still just like, bummer, dude, come on.
I agree with you.
You know, like, there's plenty of things that I have pet peeves about that are definitely not, like, rational, I guess. You know what? Like, as soon as you, like, kind of think about it and you sit back, you're like, I've definitely done that to other people, so I should focus on not doing that again.
Well, I mean, there are so many things you shouldn't do. I mean, one thing that bothers me on that level of, I guess, local band is announcing that they're going to make an announcement. I mean, I'm totally cool with, like, Gwen Stefani, like, big announcement at 10 a.m. tomorrow. That makes sense because she has millions of people, and that'll get people to tune in at that time. But if you're a band that is playing a Tuesday night at Revolution on Long Island, you're first of five on the set, maybe you have a total of seven people who come see you play, and all of them are relatives, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, seriously.
That's my big one.
Yeah, that actually, I was having a conversation with my drummer earlier, because we're Hold Fast Hope is planning on dropping, like, you know, two more EPs actually this year. And we were saying, like, I'm like, you know, we should, like, kind of announce this, talk about it soon, right? Because, like, local bands that are secretive about things, you know what I mean? They try and make that, like, cult-like image, like, you know, like, the things that, like, Brand New or, like, A Balance and Composure or, like, the Wonder Years can kind of get away with, where they're, like, super quiet about things. It's like, no, we're, you know, nobody knows who the fuck we are. Like,
true.
We should be telling them as much things as we can, like, hey, this is happening then, this is happening then. Like,
details. You know? Just have some details out. I don't know. I just get annoyed quite often. Maybe it's because I'm an old man. I'm 37. Yeah. So when you're
happy
off...
birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was actually 2 days ago. So now
I posted on your wall then. So
dude, that's it, man. You post on my wall, then you officially wished me a happy birthday, and I have no idea, like, how I lived without that. So thank you so very much for that. So
I'm so glad I could grace you with that. No problem.
You did. And I know it took a lot of time and effort. I put you on the spot with that yearning for it. So thank you. So I guess with the remaining little bit of time, can you let the people know, all 20 million of them know, how they can check out what you're doing as a performer, as a label guy, or even as a freelance person in marketing? Like, how can they check out your stuff?
I'd say the best way, you know, everything is pretty much centered around our website, downportrecords.com. You know, like I said, down portrecords.com, for the people I guess hearing that, because I have very bad diction sometimes.
You said it perfectly. Don't worry about it, don't stress.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's pretty much where everything you can we have, you can find. You can find stuff on our bands, on what we're doing. That and just, you know, Facebook, Instagram are good places. Both places at Downport Records or at Hold Fast Hope Band. Those are probably, you know, best places to find what's going on.
Well, I appreciate you and your time. So I guess the next few weeks, we actually have Steph Mirsky, like I said earlier. She's coming into the studio in a little bit. That'll be airing next week. The following week, we've got Shane Henderson, who is in the band Valencia. And again, we're focusing more on behind the scenes people, but the guys at No Hope Records requested I have him on. So I was like, you know what? You guys deserve it. You were really good guests. The following week, we've got Eddie Solis on the show. The next week, we've got another Long Islander, Neil Rubenstein, who was in the band Sons of Abraham and now has a really awesome podcast in addition to being an awesome stand-up comic. I said awesome twice, which means it's extra awesome. And then we have another artist manager, James Davidson, on the show. So we're pretty booked out till the middle of summer. As you can attest, Mr. Dan, you've been booked for quite some time on this show. So thank you for doing it.
I was going to say, yeah, pretty sure you asked me to do this, what, back in July or August or something?
It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing in February. Sure, yeah, lock me in.
It's not February, dog. It's March. Anyway, oh, shit, let's end on a gaffe. So thank you so very much for doing the show, and stick around for every other show in Idobe. Don't even stop listening to Idobe. Don't even leave your house. Just stay at home, especially now that it's snowing. Have a good night.